It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Miss Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother and pastor, Kevin Akins. Yeah, How are you doing?
Hey, surprise for a Friday. There we go.
Right on. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or you can now text it to our text line, 580-485-0837. Or you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln here in Elk City. If you're interested in a new or used vehicle, please reach out to Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln here in Elk City. They can find you what you're looking for, no matter what it is. Just give them a call, and they'll start hunting for you. I almost gave it to you. Hey,
yeah,
let me take that back. Let me take it back. Don't mean to put you in your feelings or nothing.
You're good.
We were not able to have the truth broadcast yesterday due to technical difficulties. However, we got it today, y'all. So stay tuned following the program for a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. There will be a few songs so that we can get the iPad and everything fixed up. So just watch for that notification when we come back live. It'll be from the Truth broadcast. Okay, now I've covered it all. Would you please?
Yes, I will. Yes, I got you covered.
Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer today, all right? Come on, just pray with me. Father God, we love you so much. Lord, I love the joy that you've put in our heart, the joy that you put in our life. Lord, it's such a great privilege to be around others of like precious faith. And Lord, as we come together today and we begin to just extend our hearts, we pray that you will open our ears so that we can hear everything that we need to hear, everything that the Spirit wants to say to us. Lord, I pray that we, as we listen and we communicate with one another, that we can open our minds today so that we can actually comprehend all that you're trying to tell us and all that you want to share with us. Lord, but above all, I pray that we could open our hearts and receive you and retain all the word that you have for us. We will give you the glory. We'll give you the praise through it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. I really like your title.
Well, this is a unique message. Actually, this is a message that a friend of mine down in Lubbock, Texas wrote. And I heard it come about, and I was listening to that, and I called him up, and I said, man, can I use part of that? And he said, absolutely, absolutely. And so he fed me the information again. But, you know, it's just something that so many people are falling into. The title of today's message is Getting Past the past. There's a couple of years ago, several years now, man, I think it may have been a long time ago now, there was a phrase that said, oh, get over it. Did you ever say it? Did you ever say it to somebody? Oh, get over it. You know, or maybe we looked at our kids and said, you know, would you just get over it? Or we looked at somebody and said, you know what? You're going to have to just get over that. You're just going to have to get over it. You got to get past that. We make these statements all the time because it's easy for someone who's not facing that battle or not trapped in that battle, it's easy for us to give the advice, you need to move on, you need to get past it, you need to get out of it. But it's not that easy for the person that's actually going through the dilemma, that's actually going through the battle. Today I want to talk to you about getting past your past. And so for a few minutes, let's look at it. Let's, first of all, let's go into the book of Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church. And this is a famous passage of scripture. So many people know it. You can probably start to quote it, but it depends on what you read it or what you learned it in. A lot of us learned it in King James, and then I learned it in New King James. And I know that's no big deal, but I think I'm going to read it out of a little different version today. Just listen to this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, 13, 14. Condensed down, this is basically what it said. This is what Paul told the Philippian church. He said, not that I have already obtained all this, and he's talking about obtaining all the glory and all the riches and all the fullness that God has. He's saying, not that I have already obtained it all or have already been made perfect. I'm certainly not in heaven yet. I'm not perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When Paul begins to put this out and he lays this down for the Philippian church, one of the biggest problems in the Philippian church was they had zero confidence. They had no self-confidence, nothing. They were just like, we don't think we can make it. We're just such a small community. We're just small church. There's nothing, no outreach that we can do. We don't have any money. We just don't have anything. We can't do this. We can't make it happen. And Paul is saying, hold on. You're looking at it differently. You're trying to put something in place that's not in place. All you got to do is continue to strive forward to what God's asked you to do. That's being a success. That's being more than you think. But the Philippian church was still stuck in their past. They still were thinking, we can't do it. We've never done it this way before. It's not going to happen. We can't make it work. And Paul was saying, yes, you can. So let me tell you just a few things just to really kind of set the boundary here for just a minute. Everyone has a past. No matter who you are, where you are, whatever, we all have a past. Now, I get it. Maybe a 1-2-year-old really haven't figured out their past yet. But it's amazing how 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds can already be adjusting their character because of an event that has happened to them. It's amazing when you get into the elementary schools of 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds, how often those kids really act out what they were stuck in when they were 2 and 3 years old. Ah, see, I'm getting eyes. I'm like, yep, they're looking at me. It's the truth. It's what it is. But if you want to really see a dynamic effect in people, look at high schoolers. Look at the 11th and the 12th grade and those that are even starting into a freshman and a junior and a sophomore in college, and notice how often they live in the past because of this, because of that. And it never stops there. And the reason why I feel like this message is so important today is because there's so many adults that are fighting and living in this same thing. And if we're not careful, we're training our kids just to continue in it and to stay in it. Everyone has a past. Everyone has a problem. You can look around where you are today, whether you're on the job, whether you're in a room, whether you're wherever you may be. Maybe you're walking through a grocery store somewhere listening to Our Power, and I'd say, praise God, thank you, turn the volume up. Listen, just sorry, little plug there. Just as you're going out or whatever, look around you and just see that people have problems. People are going through difficult times, and maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't understand what they've been through, but if it's not hard to look around and see that somebody's been in prison, somebody's struggling with addictions all around us. There are people going through divorce constantly. There are people that have been raised in a dysfunctional family and they are now creating a dysfunctional family. There are people that are struggling with pornography. There are people that grew up in poverty. There are people that have businesses that have failed and failed and failed again. There are people that are living in hurt because they've been hurt by other people. There are people that have been fired from job to job. And listen, that's just a beginning of the order of the complaints and the problems and the struggles that people live in. But we all have a past. And the amazing thing is that there are many of these people today that you can't tell what their past is. They've been able to get beyond it. They've been able to get past it. They've been able to get out of the way. Everybody has a past. Most of the people that are cleaned up, dressed up, fancied up, we all have something that we look back on and go, man, you know, that's just the way it is. The thing is that I want to talk to you about right now, and I just said a quote that I've been really harassing a young friend of mine about because that seems to be his catchphrase. The thing is, and I really like it, but then at times I don't like it. But, you know, that's just the statement of it all. What I want you to see and know today is this. Satan's plan is to keep you in the past. And if he can keep you in the past, then you're not moving forward to what God wants you to do. God wants you to grow. God wants you to move towards him. Like Paul said to the Philippian church, strive towards that goal that is ahead of you. Get that goal set in front of you. And maybe your goal is heaven. Listen, that's a long goal out there, but you can still put it out there. I know that in my heart, I want to make heaven. Out of everything to do, I want to make heaven. And the reason why is because I believe in it. I just bottom line, I don't doubt it. I know that there's a heaven. I also know that there is a hell. And I think for eternity, we're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. Now, that's a bottom line. That sounds kind of harsh. I don't mean it that way. It's just the truth. So which one do you want to go for? Some think they can go to hell and have a great party and remember everything. Well, that's not the description of what hell is in the book that describes hell. That's not the way it's described at all. Heaven, on the other hand, people go, well, we don't even know what it is. It's a mystery, but it's not hell. Hallelujah. There's a lot of positive things about heaven. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. All of those things. Set that goal in front of you. But Satan, he wants you to live in the past. And this is how he does it, all right? So take a note, if you will, and listen to this. Satan wants to isolate you. He wants you to be one person. He wants you to set your thoughts on thinking that you are just one individual, and that's all that it'll make. Let me read this to you. This is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Though one may be empowered by another, though one may be overpowered by another, one person can be overpowered by one other person. One person can always be overpowered by another, but two can withstand him. And if two can withstand him, then a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Why do you think Satan wants you to feel like you're all alone? Why does he want you to feel lonely? Why does he want you to be isolated? If you're isolated, then you're easily overpowered. How do you know if you're isolated? Because you use these excuses all the time. Well, I'm the only one that's ever faced this problem. Nobody's ever had it as bad as I've had it. Nobody's ever gone through this before. Well, you just don't understand because you've never been where I'm at. Listen, you're supposed to be this all good and powerful, but you're not there yet. Everybody wants to get alone by themselves. They start blaming everybody else for their problems, and they just pick on themselves. Everybody thinks that you're the one that is lost and you're the one that's broken. Sometimes it flips the other way too. You start thinking that nobody else is as good as you are. Let me tell you, pride will take you down faster than anything else. Or maybe you start thinking, well, nobody's as good at it as I am. Nobody else can do it. Listen to this phrase. You've heard it 1,000 times. If you want something done right,
do it yourself.
How wrong is that? How wrong is that? You don't do it yourself. You take a friend with you. You get somebody to help you. I know it. I tricked y'all. I apologize. You got to have a helper. You got to have a team member. If one can be easily overtaken, two can withstand it. But yet we still have this principle set in our mind that says, you know, I've got a thing in my past, and that thing in my past is that I want this to go right. And if I want it to go the way that I want it to go, then if you want it done right, then do it yourself. When all along God's saying, you know what, if you'll bring two or three in and train them exactly how you like doing it, then you've got three people to do it, and your life's a whole lot easier.
Come on.
But instead, we live in that past. Mm-hmm. We got to get past our past. Another thing that Satan loves to do, he loves to compare you to the past. He loves to compare you with your other friends. He's always out about trying to compare you. here's the thing that happens so often is when people start talking about their pastor and they talk about their sin or they talk about how bad it is, then they end up bragging about sin. And when you brag about sin, Satan gets the glory. You brag about how bad you were or what you used to do or how high you used to get or how drunk you got and drove around and outfooled the law and on it can go. And how many wives you've had and how many husbands you've had. And oh my goodness, it just gets past. Everybody's got a past. Everybody's got a problem. Why are you continually giving Satan the glory? If you're trying to compare your past and compare your wrong with everybody else, Satan gets the glory. If you're trying to compare your dirt with everybody else's dirt, Satan gets the glory. Here comes the big one. If you're comparing your package with everybody else's package, Satan gets the glory because everybody's got a package and a baggage that they carry around. Everybody's got stuff on their shoulders. Everybody's going, and we're always trying to compare that. Satan gets the glory. But when you start bragging about the grace of God and you start bragging about his mercy and you start bragging about his goodness and you start bragging about his joy, I love the joy that was in this room this morning. All three of us came in here running in circles. Man, we got something else going. We're out of our routine. It's Friday. Let's get past this. Let's go. And here we go. But we got it set. We sat down. We did our job. We fixed it up. We got the notes. We got everything connected. And I believe we're live. Here we go. We're live. We're going good. See, we're working. Talk about the grace and the mercy. If you're talking and bragging about the grace, then the Savior gets the glory. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to get the glory? Satan to get the glory or Savior to get the glory? Mm-hmm. Let's see what God's got in store for us. Don't compare your sin. Don't develop pride. Don't develop arrogance. Once you develop that, then you get set all alone. Everybody has a past. Quit trying to compare your past with everybody else. I'll give you some scriptures. Here you go. You know these. Romans 3:23. Can you say it by heart? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. That word all means all. That means everyone. We all have a past. We were all born in it. Now, that's the part that people struggle with too, but one-year-olds and two-year-olds are born in it. You got to teach them to say Jesus. You can either teach them to love Jesus or love Elvis. They love them both. They go after them, whichever one you want to go. So let me give you another one, Ephesians chapter 2. And I wrote this one out of the message too because I just love how it says. So if you want to go back to your original text, you can go back and look at it to try to remember it. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, this is what it says. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. All of us. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have fallen. Every one of us have a past. So stop trying to compare it. Stop trying to adjust it. Stop trying to justify it. Don't brag about it. Get past your past. Let's go to the second one that I want to talk to you about. The second thing that I want to share with you is this. Your past does not define you or confine you. Your past does not, cannot, should not define you or confine you. But a lot of people have settled with that today. Again, like I started, because of this, I'm this way. Because of that, I'm this way. Because that, just get past your past. I'm probably going to say some things today that's going to sound like I'm mad or mean, but we got to get past those things. You think about the worst moment in your life and the worst detail. Maybe it was when your divorce papers were served you. Maybe it was when you were hurt by a friend, a close friend. I think the statement would be you really got stabbed in the back. Man, there's nothing more devastating than that. You can say all day long, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names or words will never harm me. But boy, you get stabbed in the back by a good friend. That hurts. And it lingers. And some of y'all out there right now should be looking at me on Facebook and saying, come on, Pastor, get past your past. We all go through it, folks. We all face it. Maybe you've been sitting in that place where I have a good friend that's just gone through this recently and still ministering to him today, but he really thought that one of his actions were not going to cause a very bad reaction. But in turn, it took him to the courthouse. It took him to in front of the judge's bench. And he thought all along, it's just going to be a slap on the wrist, just like everybody else. It's going to be fine. But that judge said, guilty, 15 years. Most devastating day of his life. Guilty. We don't know what everybody else is going on. That young man, we're trying to work with him right now to help him and convince him that day is not going to mark it. We got to get past that. We got to get beyond that. Maybe you've been in that financial crunch that so many happened around here. And I hear this excuse over and over again. I don't have the money. Don't think I'm ever going to get the money again. Boy, I had all kind of money when I was working those many, many, many hours making all that high dollar stuff. And then all of a sudden it's gone, you know, and it's disappeared. And now they foreclosed on the house. The bank come and got my car. And now I'm just going to live in poverty. It's just broken that way. We've got to get back to the place to where we say, no, I will not live in the past. The past does not define me. It's not going to confine me. And that's what Satan wants to do so much. Is he wants to grab a hold of you in any way with anything that he can and hold you back. He wants to chain you down. That's how come Paul said, break the chains off. That's how come we talk about it so often, resurrection. Resurrection is a powerful thing, and it's time for us to live again and get beyond that. Let's die to those old sins, die to those old ways, and come up a new creation. What does it really mean? We get stuck in a moment. We get stuck in a time, and that one thing defines us. That one moment defines us, and we feel like we can't move on with the rest of our lives. We can't get past it. There's a movie that's out that's just a ridiculous movie. Not advising you to watch it, just a ridiculous movie. It's Napoleon Dynamite. Just hilarious in his just so many things. Just careful how you watch it. Just it's just a crazy show. But there's a man on that show, and his name is Uncle Ricky. Uncle Rico, Rico. I don't even know how he said Uncle. Anyway, he said this. He was always stuck in a moment. He lived in the what ifs. Every time Napoleon goes to talk to him, it's like, yeah, but if this would have happened, if that would have happened, if it would have been this way, if it had been that way, if it would have done this.